Boys and girls, welcome to another episode.
Buckle up and chill.
Hope you enjoy
that show.
Oh.
I can't believe it's all like that. I've been passing over the new. I've been waiting all day for that
podcast. Hey, who would have thunk it, bro? We're out here with the buckle up part. The chill part is not here. We got the Edward Paré part here still. No guests. No, I know we're not used to only two hosts. How you feeling, Ed? A little nervous?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for this one.
I'm
going to miss the chill part, but tonight's no chill.
In a very weird zone we're in tonight. We're in the Matthews bedroom. Let me just describe what we're looking at, Edward and I. Right behind us, I'm not kidding, not even a half a foot behind us, is my bed. About 2 feet in front of us is my 65-inch screen. We're watching the Pelicans and Kings playing a, in their minds, do-or-die game. We're in the bedroom tonight because we got in trouble in my living room. We normally go in Sean's garage, but Sean can't do it tonight, and that's all right because I can't do it tomorrow night. So that's how it goes. So I told Eddie I really wanted to record tonight to wrap up March Madness. We got a few topics we want to touch on, so I said, fuck it, Eddie. Yes, Trey Murphy for three. We need that.
Yep.
What we got here for points in our parlays? Good times. Yep, we're live with Pelicans and Sacramento. But yeah, we're making it work, right? It ain't gonna be perfect.
It's not gonna be perfect, bro. This podcast is always on the move to begin with, so
yeah, it is.
We're used to different sceneries every week.
Ain't that the truth, bro? Ain't that the truth? Well, we're sitting here. We might as well not. We're not really ones of our one listener that we have. We're not really ones that dilly-dally exactly. So,
just get straight.
I
want to
just address something where I was a tad wrong. Eddie, with the double-digit spreads in the Final Four, where it was a misinterpretation, but it did spark one of the best rants of all time. So I'm not going to apologize for that. One of the best rants, at least amongst us, at least. But the Final Four was not that great, was it?
No, it wasn't.
And that includes the national championship game.
Exactly. And to be honest, when I said I was talking about the Final Four just by itself, because I was excited to see Purdue and UConn go at it, and it ended up not being as exciting as we thought it would.
It was for half.
It was.
The first half was. Did you watch the first half? First half was great.
Yeah.
First half was neck and neck, back and forth, but the entire second half completely dominated by UConn. The second half would put an average fan to sleep, for sure.
And
just
I was
getting
one
what
of
they
them.
Expected.
I ended up passing out during the second half.
Did
I
you really just admit that on our sports podcast?
Yes, I did. Because it was so late.
Do you guys see what I have to go through with that?
Yeah,
imagine
I know.
That.
I know. But
I mean, they don't do anybody a favor doing it at 9:20 on a Monday night.
That's so late, man.
Yeah, they have to, though. I get why. I would do the same thing.
Because what, on the West Coast, that's not, then, what is
6:20.
That? 6:20. So that's early to them.
Dude, they played in Phoenix, so live when the game's starting in their time. They started that game at 6:20. They were adjusted because they were there for a few days.
Right.
But it didn't start till that for us. But UConn ran just a, the difference was UConn's half-court offense was something almost mythical to me. Their sets were so complex, yet so effective, and it's so hard in college basketball for teams consistently to score in the half-court. And I'm not don't come at me with, oh, Purdue does it all the time. Yeah, dumping it down to Zach Edey and let him go to work is not an offense, people, okay? That's a player. That's not an offense.
Right.
An offense involves the entire team. UConn did that the best. They had Klingon to guard him one-on-one. Edey at 37. Shit. But no one else did anything, and Hurley said that was their old game plan. So, Murphy again. Yes!
Let's go.
That's insane. That's great.
But I got to give you some credit, because you did say this. You said, because we talked, me and you talked about, off the air, we talked about UConn and Purdue. If they ran into each other, you said it'd be a problem for the guard play on defense for Purdue.
Oh, yeah.
And it absolutely was. I mean, the length alone, just the size. And
what happened to them? And thank you for acknowledging. No way, it's another one. Oh, my God, Murphy.
Looking good.
Jesus, we're up 20. The thing is, about Purdue is the reason they won games. Okay, obviously it's yes, Zach Edey. Good job, guys. Fantastic. Easy answer. You're in the third grade.
Right.
It's when Fletcher Lawyer is shooting 50% from three. It's when Braden Smith's creating, shooting almost 50%. Excuse me, 50% from three. Lance Jones, who's their small forward, shooting almost 50% from three through the tournament. Dan Hurley said this after the game. Obviously not going to reveal it before the game, saying, we're going to give Zach Edey his 30, 40 points, but none of the other guys can score. They can't combine for 20, and that's exactly what they did, and they handled it. Honestly, Purdue held in the first half. They did. They held defensively, but you could kind of tell if you're watching the flow of the game that it was just bubbling and boiling to where Edey, if he missed a single shot when he got the ball down low, they were almost screwed because Tristan Newton in transition was lethal. Gosh, that guy's good. He'll be a top 10 pick.
And we saw it all year with UConn, dude. They are one of the most absolute complete teams in college basketball, and not even this year, throughout the years past. It's been unbelievable to watch them all year long. I paid attention to them a lot. Yeah, I didn't make it through the whole game, but I saw enough of them to know how complete they were because they were that complete team.
What is just weird about it is 3 years ago, they lost in the first round. And then 4 years ago, these are Dan Hurley's first 2 years, they didn't even make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy to go from not making it to losing in the first round to straight up.
Last year they were
natties, bro. Trip natties.
Last year they were what, a fifth seed? I think they were only a fifth seed. They weren't even like.
No, last year.
Yeah, I swear they were only a fifth seed.
You're gonna have to look that up for me.
I will while you're talking, but
I don't believe that at all. I think they're at least a one or a two. But I'm gonna burp. This is a more chill podcast without the chill part. We just gotta get some content out there. Me, I'm not as psycho as I was last week. I'll give you that. What triggered me last week was we went back and listened to it, okay? It wasn't storylines. But Eddie did, what started the thing was Eddie said this Final Four is boring. And that's where it started, which is almost the same thing to me. Did you look it up?
I'm getting there. But you were talking about storylines, and I was just talking about matchups, not how they got there.
I know. Well, you just need to elaborate more then. You know me. I need details, bro.
Right.
No, I need details.
Absolutely. But you were getting into where you heard so much.
Right, you're taking too long in the seat. Just look up the fucking. It's so easy.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to go fast, though. I have a point coming.
They were the fourth seed.
Thank you. Okay, at least you're on it. Fourth seed. And they still get it done. It's incredible. All right, Bill. Moving on, though, because I'm not trying to spend that much time on it.
Real quick, they went back-to-back, and that's the first time in how many years?
Since 2005-2006 with the Florida Gators, with Billy Donovan, who could possibly be the next Kentucky coach. Move on to that real quick.
There you go.
Wild that.
Before you get into, go ahead.
No, nope, so you're gonna say?
I think these coaches are turning this job down. What does Kentucky attract? They attract these one and done guys, and is that really like attractive to a head coach? That's an honest question to you.
Okay, dude. Number one. Okay, you're asking that for real?
For real.
Okay, I won't be a dick then. Oh my god, another steal for Zion. Give me a dunk. Oh my god, this is nuts. I didn't think it'd go this quick. It's not Kentucky themselves. It's the way John Calipari recruited.
Okay.
And people want to sit there and drip, yeah, they've had a bad 4 years in the postseason. All right, they have. There's no doubting that. And there's a lot of pressure over there at UK. But people go to UK, would you rather have all the best one and dones, or would you rather build it a different way? I don't know. You know what? It's easy to say, look at UConn, but they got a bunch of fucking transfers. Cam Spencer and Tristan Newcastle were all transfers. Yeah, Klingon was homegrown. He's only a sophomore. It's hard to compare because he's won with that so many times in the past. It's not Kentucky, though. It's how the coaches want to recruit.
Okay, going off of that, though, all these one-and-done guys, yeah, you want the best players. You want to recruit the best.
And he hasn't won the tournament.
Okay, but how hard is it for a new team like that, new players playing together, how hard is it to build a chemistry?
And I just watched UConn start three guys who are transfers.
All right.
It's the same thing. No, yeah. They're not freshmen, no. But they're still new players. Mm-hmm. I just watched it. It's the age of it is. It's not as hard as people make it out to be. It really is not. Talent wins, okay? It just does.
They might have been new players, but were they, like...
more experienced.
Were they top-ranked? Like, Kentucky had how many guys
no,
in the top 20?
They were transfers. They were transfers.
They were transfers, okay.
Experienced transfers. Okay. Very experienced transfers.
But Kentucky got stars from their high school teams. They were stars of their team, and now
okay,
they're trying
just,
to mesh together, and
okay,
that's difficult.
Okay, you're discrediting too much there. The second
okay.
part of your point was correct.
Okay.
First part, don't give me the stars of the high school teams. Jesus, I was a star of my high school team. That's ridiculous. These are McDonald's All-Americans, consensus top 20 players in the country, okay?
Oh,
these aren't just
that,
the
yeah.
best players on their high school team.
Absolutely.
These are
right.
the best players on the teams that are hand-selected from the best players in the country, okay? It's a big difference. Second part, though, what was your second part?
Meshing together
superstars. And that's
stars.
The hard part with a bunch of stars who are used to being like that, and that's the hard part. And they did play AAU like that, though, so there's not excuses. He decided to recruit the way he recruited, and he got the most talented players, but it hasn't worked out in the tournament. I think people fail to forget, though, that before this four-year run, in 2019, he went to the Final Four with an 8 seed. Okay, and then there were many years where he had top seeds, and he only got it done all the way once, but he's been to multiple Final Fours, okay? Kentucky's going to rue the day he left. Okay, they're not going to get better. Okay, Kentucky's a tough job, all right? Kentucky, let me compare it to a football job. It's like USC of football, okay? You know what? Without the natties, it's almost like the Alabama of football. It's like one of the pinnacle jobs. John Calipari didn't leave because John Calipari left because he's got it's a lot of pressure. He's got a relationship with the top donor, who's the guy from Tyson Foods, and I know his wife speaks a decent amount. I think his wife's about tired of those fans in Kentucky saying, "Let's go to Arkansas." He took less money to go to Arkansas. He's making $1 million less in salary. But he's getting the most NIL money in the country.
Where would you rank Kentucky as far as coaching jobs in college basketball?
Number 3.
Okay.
Number 2.
Tells you a lot right
maybe
there.
Maybe number 1.
And obviously that's going to be a lot of pressure, anyone coming into that. So.
I think he did it for 15 years.
Oh.
I think the last 4 years, even with his recruiting classes being as great as they are, he had expectations high as fuck just because of those numbers, which are sometimes a little bit unrealistic because how young the kids are.
Mm-hmm.
But he did choose to go that route. I think it worked out for both. I think it was time to move on. Dude, he's been there 15 years. People act like he'd barely been there. He's been there 15 fucking years. That's a long time.
You already got a new job, right? You just
yeah,
said
Arkansas.
It. Okay.
Yeah. Well, dude, he wouldn't have left on a new job, of course.
Right.
No way he hits another one, Murphy. Okay.
No.
But, excuse me. Sorry, I gotta keep burping. I told you those beers aren't sitting well. A couple things. I want to take a quick break before we get into the meaty stuff. You know Tyson Foods, right?
Nope.
Okay, they have a bunch of the frozen foods.
Oh, Nuggets.
Yes.
Yeah,
stuff
gotcha.
Like that, yep.
Okay.
So he is good friends with the heir, which is the grandson of the original guy. He's good friends with him, who is his age, so it's normal, don't worry. And that guy is the main guy who's giving him the salary, and they have the most NIL money in the country. Here's the context. Most NIL spent last year on a team was Kansas last year, $4 million. This, Arkansas is giving him $6 million, so that's a significant bump. And guess who's the other guy who was orchestrated into bringing him in? Arkansas alum, biggest, most famous owner in the NFL. Who is it?
In the NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL. Who's the most famous owner?
Robert Kraft?
Close. Who's right next to him? Dallas Cowboys, baby.
Jerry Jones.
Most
okay.
outspoken. He's Arkansas alum. So he forked over millions for the NIL fund as well. They worked Calipari to get in there. And I know for a fact. No, I don't know for a fact. Shouldn't say it like that. I have a hunch. Calipari's wife, who has been vocal that she doesn't love Lexington, not the place it's in, but the way the fan base is. I think she was like, let's go to somewhere with a little less pressure, and you got all the resources you want, they really want you. I'm sure that she played a factor in that. And Arkansas, they just lost Musselman in USC. You can win at Arkansas.
Right.
Obviously, they just gave you everything you need to win. They just gave you everything.
Arkansas has had a good basketball team for the last couple of years, too, so they have something to build off
now.
Of. Yeah. Well, I'm going off the couple of years I know. But good point, though, with the wife, though, because they take a lot, their life takes a toll too, as well as the coaches, because they hear it on the outside when they go to the stores and stuff, like
all the time. I mean, yeah. I don't know this for a fact again, but I guarantee you one time Calipari's wife went to name it the movies, a grocery store, somewhere local, normal human shit, right? And had some. Why is it killed one in the last two terms? Or pick your poison, whatever, doesn't matter. You get my point.
I get it.
I bet you she's had that a bunch of times, and she's probably just like, you know what? Go do this for your last 8 years, and then we retire. And that's it, right?
Yep.
I don't blame him. As long as you got the money, it doesn't matter. He's got the name, he got the money. Arkansas is a dope place to go to school. They'll be fine.
Yeah. They'll be fine.
All right, we'll move on to some sex. Well, your Detroit Tigers like to tease you just like a prude-ass fucking nun. Start five and hit them a call. Yes! He's good days. Fuck yes. Tigers start 5-0. Look, I'm not going to be long-winded about this. We have a much more interesting MLB topic. It's not sustainable. The offense is terrible. It's been fun. They're 7-4. Okay, I get it. The way they've won has been very fluky or pitchy, if that I just made that word up. I don't feel confidence when your offense is borderline incompetent.
We saw that coming in from the offseason, did we not, with their signings?
And this is what's bothering me. And this is what's bothering me. Everyone could see it. Did we talk about this last time? We did.
What about Scott Harris's comments?
They're so on brand, man. You know who he reminds me of? And don't compare the teams themselves, please. He reminds me of fucking Troy Weaver. And don't compare the teams themselves, please. Just the way he goes about it. Be patient. Be patient. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. Smartest man in the room. I don't need to sign anybody even though I have a shit ton of money. You know, I know why? Because I know what guys fit together. It's the money ball approach. Troy Weaver did the same thing with the Pistons, which hasn't worked either. But to a worse extent. Not the point. I'm tired of it. You know what? It's very simple to me. Here's the way I look at it. And this goes for any sport. I look the best teams that are good for a long period of time or have won multiple championships. How do they do it? Every good team that wins in the majors, that wins for real shit, signs guys.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. And on top of that, the other half of that is they develop a few guys. Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson and Cole Keith, Kerry Carpenter would be good hitters if you had a JD. And I'm not going to die on who the players are, JD and Matt Chapman. I know those are two premier names. But if you just sign another couple quality bats, like, our bench sucks. Like, yeah, you take away spots. Bye-bye Zach McKinstry. Bye-bye Ibanez. Like, I don't care. Or bye-bye Vierling. Whatever. Those guys are all irrelevant to me.
They mean nothing. And going off of that,
they're literally nothing.
Going off of that, Riley Green or Torkelson, for the L.A. Dodgers or, you want to say, New York Yankees, is somebody that would just pop up and be really good, and then they're throwing in their lineup to a bunch of stars in front of them. But we are trying to bring these guys up and make them our stars, and they're not there yet. They need more time, and they don't have the veterans around them. It just pains me that we didn't sign that veteran bat because everyone knew we needed that help.
Let me play this card because, number one, I agree with you. You know I'm on the veteran bat stance. Here's what I think he's thinking, and I disagree with it, by the way, because the division's gettable. That's why I disagree with it. If the division was dominant, I'd say ride this out and just come in last and keep giving these young kids at bats. I think he thinks that this offense is nowhere near close, and he's thinking, I'm not going to get rid of, we need to have this nucleus of young hitters, and they need to go through their growing pains, and they need to grow, and they need to be what we depend on, and then supplement them with the veteran bats. Now, I disagree with that because the division is so fucking gettable.
Not only is it gettable, but there's such a huge difference it makes when you throw a veteran bat in the lineup, not even just in the lineup, in games. When you have a veteran bat at practice, what do you think these young guys are doing while they're taking BP? They're learning from the veteran bat. They're learning different things.
Yeah, but you could say they did that the last 2 years.
I know, but I always go back to this, and it goes back to...
It's more about the protection of the lineup.
I know, but my best example of that is when JD came over here from the Astros, and we had Miggy about as at his prime still, when he was still good, and JD took a turn for the best, and it made his career. Because they work together every day, they talk about their swings, he just learned so much from the veteran bat, Miggy. So if you bring a veteran bat in here and guys talk back and forth.
Comparing, I know, and I get your point.
It makes a bigger difference than just having a good bat in the middle of the order.
It does, and it protects them and teaches them, I get it. It's just hard to compare what you're saying because it's such a different era.
I know, but sometimes it comes better off as a teammate helping you out versus a coach because, and that works, that works at every level. It doesn't matter. So, I mean...
Let's see, that's where... I agree with that. Every level, that should be like that, but in the major leagues...
It still happens there, though.
I know it does, but it shouldn't. Like, I'm sorry. Damn it. You're there for a reason. Your coaches are there for a reason. You sign a contract to be coached. Like, you need to be coached.
But no matter how good these guys are... They are still learning every day, though.
I know. We already did this conversation last week. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on that. Give me the more juicy stuff of... I'm not a big national baseball guy, but the reason being is...
I love baseball, and I do not see enough of it being televised.
Nationally.
Like, I love watching Tigers.
Everyone has the fucking MLB package.
No, and I shouldn't have to... spend extra money for that. I shouldn't have to spend extra money to watch games I want to watch.
But you do.
And I love Sunday Night Baseball. Okay, love it. I love the interaction with the players. I can't get enough of that. I would love to see more of that. And the problem is, like, throughout the week, I want to see a game at night. And I don't see any games throughout the week. Like, do they even televise games during the week? I really don't know.
Here and there, there's Wednesday Night Baseball. But there should be, at bare minimum, one nationally televised game a night?
7 o'clock, whatever.
Is that asking for much? There should be three. And what did you say? What was your point off air about the NHL, too? Oh, which is less popular than MLB.
It is less popular, but
by far.
They'll
look at the contracts.
I mean... they're not much better, but they still have games at least every other day. They might miss 2 days, and they might have a small slate one day, but they have way more.
They get way more nationally televised games.
I get it's a dying sport, too, because not many people love baseball. Like,
okay, well, just think about this. Think about this compared to the NHL thing. The NHL gets more. The top player in the NHL is making about $9 million a year. Uh-huh. The top player in baseball is... Shohei making 70. Think about that.
Right.
That's how much more popular baseball is, though. So there should be more.
Definitely.
And that's the big reason I don't get super into it nationally, because obviously I'm never buying the package. I watch the Tigers like it's my fucking religion. But there's just not enough games on randomly. Like, I will look some nights on, like, let's just say it's a Tuesday night, right? Mm-hmm. I got nothing to do. Can't find nothing to watch. I'll look. I'm never going to watch a random hockey game. I'll look for a random baseball game, and most of the time, they're just not there.
No, they're not.
Very rarely they're there, actually.
No, you get your local team. That's pretty much it.
You don't even really get your local team unless you got, like, Xfinity, fucking Bally.
Oh, no.
Jewish as fuck.
No, good point, because I had YouTube TV, right?
Get your Tigers, Pistons, or Red Wings. I'll tell you that.
I had to cancel that, and I got FUBU because they have Bally's. I'm like, this is ridiculous. YouTube's that cheap, they couldn't...
But this is why baseball is a dying sport, though. It's dying. Just viewership-wise. See, the thing is why it'll always be prominent, though, is because it's such a common sport for youth people to play. It's a good sport, and parents love their kids playing baseball because there's no contact. It's very hard to get injured. It's very different from, say, football, obviously. Even basketball, it's not as much. It's a very easy sport to play, baseball. You're not really going head-to-head with a human being that often. No, I'm talking about the physical.
Oh, the physical part, yeah. Okay.
Obviously, hitting the baseball is the hardest thing to do. I get that. I'm not stupid.
Okay, good.
But it's the easiest thing. And I'm talking about youth, by the way. It's the easiest thing to put your youth into. It's a very simple sport. Catching it, it helps with hand-eye coordination, all that. It's a very good youth sport. And I just think it dies out once you get to the high school level and kids are good.
No, dude, I'm looking at the schedule right now, and it's showing ESPN. It looks like every Sunday that's it, all for ESPN, that they show games. And then you got TBS one day a week. Like, that's all you get. That's all you get. That's not enough.
Opening day. The real, like, the opening day for the entire majors, not for the Tigers specifically, they only had one nationally televised game, and it was the Cubs and Rangers. And the Cubs kind of suck. Damn, Pelicans fucking this up. Think about that. Your first day of the season, okay, mm-hmm. Your very first day, you have one nationally televised game, and it's not even the best game on the slate. I think about the other sports. Okay, I think about the NBA. The first night of the NBA is like the title waits. The Titans teams playing each other, 4 or 5 games, all nationally televised. It's like, that's the way it should be. That's right. How baseball should be, no matter the conference. Yeah, CJ for 3, fuck yes.
Yeah.
And even NBA, same, or I just said NBA, NFL, though, the first weekend is always some of the best. Well, NFL
you can't compare to, yeah, you can compare
because NFL, you can play retard versus retard. People still watch that. No, yeah. Way CJ's not winning for 4 threes. He's already got 3. Yes! Dude, our parlays are looking sexy.
But, okay, so who, when you played Little League, what was your team? Were you I was the Braves. That was my Little League team.
A bunch of different teams.
I know, what was one that stands out, though? Were you like a Yankees or
a Brewers.
Okay. Did you fall in love with the Brewers at all? No.
No.
Okay. See, I fell in love with the Braves because I was the Braves for a couple of years, and it was, and but I want to. My point is, I want to be able to watch the Braves as well as the Tigers, and I can't unless I get the MLB package, and it's just not fair, man. They should definitely should be playing more games televised,
and they wonder why their sport is dying. We are the last age that still, like, really loves baseball. I'm telling you, the kids I see in middle school, which is a key age. Once kids get 12, 13, 14, it's a big age. I don't see, I mean, one or two, of course, but ain't about baseball.
It's only a select few of our generation as well. So, like, it's definitely dying, and it's sad to see, but.
Baseball, depressing. All right, we'll move on. Baseball is just, I didn't think it'd be that depressing, but man, they've touched themselves.
All right, now we bored you with the baseball. Now we're going to bring it into the NFL baseball's draft. Boring. Yeah, baseball's boring. I get it. But I love it. NFL draft talk. Here we go. Right? 2 weeks away. Is that right? Two weeks away.
Exactly. We're sitting on Thursday night. Exactly 2 weeks away.
These two guys sitting right here are going to be down there for the fun. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
It's going to be a party, bro.
It's going to be a blast. Party. I cannot wait. But for the most part, all right, we're picking 29. My initial reaction is I am most certain that they will be picking a receiver in the first round. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't even want to go position here. I want to ask you a question, though.
Go ahead.
Will you be super sad if they, because they're 29, so they could trade out of the first round and trade down 4 picks. Literally, I'm not even exaggerating. With us being down there, pretty much the only time in our lifetime when we're young men, it's going to be in Detroit. It could be again, but we're going to be old men. Okay, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not an opinion. Will you be a little bit upset if they trade out? Even if they trade from 29 to 34. Guess what? We don't get to see that.
Great question.
Night. It's a fact.
Great question, because you know what? Initially, absolutely, I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be,
we're standing there looking at it.
We're waiting for it. We're waiting, and then they don't make a pick on the first day. But you know what, though? We will recover quickly, because the next day we will get 2 picks instead of 1.
Real quick, too.
And we're going to get draft capital for moving back. So
I want you to separate that, though. And you're right. What you're saying is correct. I want you to separate the logic from it, though. Because I know how I'll feel. When we're there, and they trade out on Thursday, at the very last second, right when we think we're about to pick, don't tell me we're sitting there a little fucked up. We're not going to be like, damn, that sucks.
No.
We will be. I will be super upset. I really hope they
don't. No, I said it initially. I am going to be upset. Absolutely.
I will be no matter what they get, I'll obviously logically come around to it, but I will be super sad, to be honest with you. I will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I give you my logic and why I think it's receiver they're taking?
Please.
Okay, so we look back on the other drafts. So we had Brad Holmes with. We had Brad Holmes for a couple of years now. How many? Three? Has it been three? He's had three drafts.
He just finished 3 years.
Okay.
Yes, sir. He's had three drafts.
First round, he already told us he likes to take best available, okay? And he covets offensive players more than defensive players. Can we deny that?
But that
we can't
goes
deny
against,
that, though.
It goes against your point, though, you just said. Best available. Don't.
But,
see, okay, the thing is, though, the best available has been the offensive players so far. But you can't tell me he covets best available then say he wants offensive players. Best available doesn't have a position.
True, but that's the draft the
philosophy.
But that's his draft board, not ours, okay? So like we don't know
obviously.
What his looks like. So we're going off of mock drafts and all this and that.
I don't know mock drafts.
I know, but his is totally different than what we see in the public.
What's the point then?
My point is, I think they're taking receiver at 29. I don't really have a
because
doubt in my mind.
Because you think that's going to be the best available player
yes.
at any position.
Most valuable for the team.
It is a super deep class. They do need one. I don't think so. I think most of the good receivers are going to go earlier than you think. And they don't need Xavier Worthy who could drop. There's only two positions. See, and I'm cool with the best available player thing, but when you're at 29, like, that's different for me. If you're top 16, I get it. Okay, best available player always. Mm-hmm. But when you're damn near the second round, I think it does change a little bit, despite what his philosophy is. I think you look at it, and you need a corner or an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, whatever is the highest rated there.
Fair.
And I get what you're saying because I would love me a sexy receiver. Give me Keon Coleman all day. I just think to supplement what we have, you can find in a later round. I just think you need to go big or you either go big, offensive or defensive lineman, or you go, that's what I would do first, by the way, offensive or defensive lineman.
I agree with that, too,
and
yeah.
then if you don't want to do that, then if there's a corner you like, I don't hate receiver. I will never hate a receiver. I love receivers. I'm a receiver. I fucking love receivers. I would love... Dude, if they drafted Keon Coleman at 29, we'll be down there. I will be literally fucking jumping for
joy.
Well,
that would be awesome, right?
He would fit, too, but I just don't think it makes sense, personally.
I get your logic, but you're saying I would love. What is Brad Holmes' love, though, is where
probably
I'm coming at.
Probably a corner,
at.
Then, right?
Could be a corner. It definitely could be an option, but...
I hate to...
I think he wants to... He just wants to keep riding that offense, though. And
but
he trusts the corners.
Okay, and you want to keep riding the offense, and you take an offensive lineman. Okay, you're about to lose Decker after this year, for sure. You'll move Sewell over, obviously, but you're still going to need a right tackle.
Mm.
And then you're going to lose... Ragnow is... I don't know if it'll be after this season, but, God, I can't imagine he's got more than two seasons left. He is... And you just lost Jordan Jackson. I know you saw Zeitler's on a one-year deal. You
well,
got to reinvest
sign.
In that. You need to take... An offensive lineman.
Oh, there. Absolutely.
But
not
my thing
there,
is,
though.
Hold on. My thing is, yes, there. My thing is, because if you want a receiver, I got to start from the inside out, bro. We got enough at receiving. We can draft later.
Why would we have to draft one there? We don't need to draft one there because...
Okay, then we don't need to draft a receiver there.
We don't.
Do this all day.
No,
we do this all day.
We don't need to draft a receiver there. And Brad Holmes probably thinks we don't need to draft a corner there either. Because he in
but
his,
he's obsessed with corners, and that's a hot corner spot in the first round.
Yeah, and he's also...
He's a corner guy.
You said trade back. He's also not afraid to trade up either. So
I
if
know.
He sees a guy he
it's
wants...
It's just different when you're trading up with 29, because we don't have the assets we've had in previous years, which is a good thing.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
No, but it would really take for someone to really drop into the 20s, because it would take too much to go back into the teens. Like, God, that's way too much.
Yeah.
You have to give up too much.
Well, 2 years ago, he traded up to get JMO, right? And then last year, he traded back and took...
Yeah, when you have
Gibbs.
A bunch of extra picks, it's easy to
right.
do that. You don't have that anymore, though. Those
True.
Days are gone. You just have normal picks now.
Yeah.
You have one extra pick because of the Hockenson trade, which
Good point.
Is clutch.
Good point.
But it's different then. You have way more flexibility to move in and out around then.
So I can see more trading back for him than trading up. When you say it like that, because he wants more capital.
Or, see, here's what I really think is going to happen. I think they're going to stay put. I don't think there's going to be fireworks this year, at least in the first round. I think they're going to take the best big guy or corner that's there. I know that's three different positions. That's what I really think is going to happen. I don't think they'll even look at receiver, which I would kind of be okay with. Dude, the offensive line is going to... It happens fast. Mm-hmm. Who is the only guy you know is going to be a starter on your team in 3 years? Penei Sewell.
Absolutely right.
That's it, though. There's five positions there. That's what scares me, and that's a strength right now. You need to make sure that's solidified, and that's where it starts. I want an offensive lineman at least in the first two rounds.
We're missing one guard spot, right? Because we just...
We got Zeitler and Glasgow, but Zeitler's on a one-year deal. Okay, he's 34.
You need that backup guy because you got injuries all the time.
No, but he's a backup this year. But he's going to be a guy, if you draft him early, he'll be a backup this year. He'll be your sixth guy. He'll come in next year. You're going to lose Zeitler. He's on a one-year deal. And you, like you just said, the injuries are nuts on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I think you reinvest in that because Goff doesn't survive without that. And then if Goff doesn't survive without that, that means the receivers don't survive without that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a big believer, even going from receiver himself, that you have to build from inside out because nothing happens for the skill players without the big daddies. It just doesn't. I got killed with that. We couldn't block a soul in high school, so I didn't. As a receiver, you don't.
Quarterback doesn't have time to get to you.
Yeah, not at all. Like it has to start there because the quarterback can't be the quarterback with the offensive line doesn't depend on anybody else. Mm. They don't need anyone else to be good. Okay, they just don't.
Just to clarify, though, my assumption that they're going to take a receiver was based off of just Brad Holmes' thinking. Wasn't what I wanted. But any of those positions you just talked about, defensive line, offensive line, cornerback, receiver even, I can't get mad at the pick.
So you're not dead set.
I'm not dead set on receiver. Absolutely, I'm not.
I just don't think it makes sense, but in the sense that Brad Holmes loves the best player available. Depends who drops there. I just don't think it's going to... But that's the easy thing to say.
Right. I don't want to pick players, so I'm just going positions. Yeah, but let me make it even better. First, second, third round. If you pick out of those four positions we just talked about, I'm happy. The first three rounds. If that's what we pick...
Well, that'll for sure happen. I mean, let's
put money on it, then. Why not? Because I think that's what should happen. Absolutely.
I'm not putting money on who's drafting who. We'll do that at the draft. I'll do some money with you. Not right now, though.
Well, we'll have fun with it. But, all right, now we're on the football topic.
Yeah.
It's enough draft talk. Hold on. We'll talk more.
I want to because I got to pee again, and I love you. All right, picking up right where we left off, I was just talking about, you know, NFL draft stuff. So, as a receiver, I at least went through this. And Eddie and I play in very different positions, which we'll get into. Playing a receiver, I play with a bad offensive line, all right? And it affects me. And that's why I want to go offensive line in the draft, because no one quarterback, receiver, running back can be successful until the offensive line is successful. So that's why I'm so obsessed with it as a receiver. Now, a funny thing... Call funny, call football, whatever you want. That Eddie and I we've discussed this a zillion times off air.
Never gets old.
It doesn't either, because you know, I mean, dude, sports never gets old. Period, especially our glory days. So I played wide receiver on varsity football. Obviously, I was a receiver. I played a little defensive back, and I'm just talking strictly varsity. But I was a receiver. Okay, Eddie probably played in multiple positions too, but you're mainly a
Mainly a linebacker. On the offensive side, it's fullback, middle.
Here's the way I need to say it. Mm-hmm. You were playing in the trenches in the inside.
Yep.
I'm playing on the finesse on the outside. And the question is, football is one game, right? You're one team, it's one game, you're all working for the same goal. We get that, okay? Team sports. Football is unlike any other sport, though, in the aspect of you play two different games in the same game. Inside the hash marks, what you said, fullback, linebacker, tight end, center, box safety, defensive tackle, stuff like that, right? Offensive guard, big boys. Big boys, strong men, right? That is hard-hitting, smash mouth, nose-to-nose.
Punch in the face.
I'm bigger, better, tougher than you type of football,
mm-hmm.
right? That's one sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a brutal fucking sport and something I couldn't survive in. Then you go on the outside, and I'll even say this as a receiver. It's kind of like the prissy bitches. It's like, well, don't. What'd you do? Grab my jersey? That's a penalty. You can't grab my jersey when I'm running. You can't do that, which it is. I mean, it is.
That's where receivers get the title. Yeah. Drama queens, yeah, right?
I know, exactly, exactly. And so when you're on the outside, it's very technical. It's with tedious. Your feet, and you can't really grab me either way. You can't mm-hmm. really. First 5 yards, of course, we all know that.
Right.
After that, if I'm 6 yards on field, either way, vice versa, offense or defense, we can't really grab each other, right? Mm-hmm. In the inside, just grabbing each other, that's nothing. That's just like, hey, how you doing, bud? Like,
no, you could get slapped in the
it's
face.
It's a different football game,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And, oh, my bad, I kicked the mic. But, no, when you go off, going off of that, though, when you go inside, all right, you're thinking about running through someone full speed, right?
Because if you don't, you're going to get lit up yourself.
Right. You got to go full speed all the time. On the outside, you told me this. You're avoiding contact.
Duh.
Every time.
That's your job, though.
Right.
It really is, as a receiver.
Exactly. So, playing linebacker, fullback for me.
You're seeking contact.
As a fullback,
you're looking for it.
I'm running through you. That's my
But you
goal
guys
every
are
time.
Looking for contact.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you're not trying. If a guy's coming at you, you're going at him, right?
Right.
No, if a guy's coming at me on the outside, what am I doing? Mm. I'm like, you mean?
Well,
you're getting around him.
And with that, though, okay, I'm trying to avoid linemen because linemen are huge. They're way bigger than I am, so I'm avoiding them. But I'm next person. Once I get by them, my job is to go through the running back. So it plays its part.
I know,
but,
I understand there. Yeah, and that's where they're similar, though, a little bit.
But also, when you're in the middle, the refs don't see as much as they
Nothing.
Do on the outside.
Nothing. Remember I told you that?
You can get away with murder sometimes, and it is... It gets intense in the
and
middle.
You can't even blame the refs that much because it's a fucking scrum in there sometimes. I've looked at it. The funniest plays, like, I'll remember some of the funny shit from high school. It'll be just a run up the middle, right? And I'm mm-hmm. just blocking. And I'll block for 2 seconds. Let's say someone fumbles in the middle. It's like a fucking war zone in mm-hmm. there going for the fumble. I'm just out there like... Me in the corner, we barely even touch each other. We're just sitting there watching all the big guys go for it. It's like, am I even playing the same sport? I'm like, am I even playing the same sport?
Right, exactly. And you said it earlier, receivers will bitch about jersey grab, this and that. In the middle, we don't bitch about shit. I mean, okay, I see it in the NFL now. They want to get the calls
now,
the holding
and stuff.
Now, let
me tell you this.
But
if I'm running a route and you jerk me a little bit, it's a lot bigger than if someone jerks you a little bit right in there.
Right. But we don't bitch as much to the refs about it because we know they can't see. It's hard to see in the middle there. When you got guys just piled up sometimes. It's
well,
just,
for the record, I didn't say we bitch at the refs. I'm just saying it's called more. I never said a word to the refs. They didn't miss a call out there.
Right.
They don't miss a call. It's fucking wide out. It's wide open. It's in the open.
You got to remember, though, we played 13, 14 years ago. Nowadays, people are acting more to get those calls. We didn't
sure.
do that as much back
sure.
then.
Sure, but like, okay, here's my point. It's timeless. It just, and we just said it. I mean, it's stupid. It's just, it's a lot, and you're right when you say that. It's just a lot easier to see it. You don't really have to complain much mm-hmm. when you're out there, corner or receiver, because the refs are right there always.
It's out in the open.
And you're skinny people, typically. Yeah. You're not big bruisers at all, mm-hmm. receivers or corners. You're definitely not.
Right, because if someone holds me, I'm not going to just be yanked. I'm still going
no,
forward
type
thing.
No, and if you sell
thing.
It, like, I could fake it, mm-hmm. and I could maybe get a call, and it wouldn't completely affect the team because I'm all the way out there. Mm-hmm. If you do that shit in there, you're, like, not filling a gap. Like, they could
right.
shoot through that, and, like, it's so much different. You just have to, you have to persevere through so much BS contact in there. And I'm not that type of guy. That's why basketball is my favorite sport, because controlled contact. But I love football just because I was able. I'm just happy that there was a position in football for someone small and athletic and fast like me
mm-hmm.
to be able to play, but like, and not get fucking my ass kicked.
No, and it comes down to the what our point of this conversation is. there's two different mentalities when it comes to football. You got the receiver, you got the outside guys, and you got the running back.
Just outside, inside.
Even the running backs, though, sometimes, right? Because they go outside.
Depends
as well.
What the offense is.
Right.
I'm not going to count running backs because they're like the hybrid. They do outside and inside.
You're right. Because they're technically the linebacker on the defense, that vice versa.
I'm
type.
Not going to. I compare receivers, corners, and then defensive line and inside linebackers. Mm-hmm. Those are two different sports right there.
Right. But no, the mentality is you got guys in the middle that are, I'm running right through you, and you got the guys on the outside, you're not touching me. That's what it comes down to. There's two different players there.
And that's why football is such a fantastic sport, because all walks of life can play it. Someone could be some fat son of a bitch and be a damn good guard, right? And then absolutely. You could have a stud fucking receiver who is the complete opposite body type of that guard.
Skinny, yeah.
And they could both be all conference being completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why football is great. Like, basketball doesn't have that. Not all walks of life can play basketball. You have to be a certain type. No. Football, you can be seriously thrive at, because there's so, the positions, and that's it, two different sports, are just so effing different.
That's like, what makes it so awesome, right? That's why the sport's amazing.
And
everyone,
I think that's why
it.
A lot of receivers are basketball players themselves, or they turn out to be, or were basketball players in high school, because it's that type of sport. It's going up and getting the ball, dude.
And that's why you have so many fans, too. Think about it, because you got guys all different shapes and sizes. They can see,
they can
compare.
Relate,
they can relate to a certain spot, a certain position.
Like,
absolutely.
A fat fucking dude in his living room would be like, I could be a fucking guard out there. And
well,
then,
no,
you know
to
what I'm
a
saying,
point, yeah, yeah, right? Because we're talking NFL, but, like I've been there. I know what they're going through type of thing. That's how they relate.
It is astonishing to me because, and that's my thing, but the inside does matter more because the outside doesn't function without the inside. And it's not the opposite. It's not like the inside doesn't function without the outside. That's not true at all. It is. That's why I want to keep reinvesting our offensive line. A receiver, we don't function without the big dogs. And I know, and that's the hard part where we come into the kind of the fork in the road with this conversation because we're different sides of the ball too.
But off of that though, because the outside doesn't work if the inside works. But say there's a run play to the right side, I'm on that running back's back hip. If my outside doesn't turn him in, he gets outside, I'm screwed. So there's times it works other way too. So
that's
why it's the ultimate team sport.
But it is. But in that scenario, what you just said, the corner just to turn him inside is not taking on the straight up brute strength and big boys you're taking out. It's a lot easier for him to maneuver around a tight end or receiver to turn that inside than it is, because there's space to do it, than it is for you to, like, be in this little scrum. Then he squirts out, and then you're going.
Technically, I'm talking about the slot corner. That's the guy who's supposed to turn it
in. And the thing is, you got to also understand, for defensive backs compared to linebackers, they're sitting back. They can see things a lot longer than you can. You're in there, like,
split-second decisions.
And that's a linebacker. A corner, when they're in run support, it's not split-second decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll give it to a corner. On a quick play-action pass, it is a split-second decision for a corner. Corner's tough, man.
That's why you got to have a killer mentality in the middle. You really do. I mean, in the sport alone, you do have to have that killer mentality. But you have to have it that much more just being in the middle, because you wait half second, you're done. They ran past you. You didn't fill your hole. Lineman covered you. Whatever. You have to read and go. That's all. That's all it is.
And so, and I agree with every word you just said, by the way. On the outside, it's just like the opposite. It's not about, I'm tougher than you, I'm going to blow you up, I'm going to do this. It's more just technique and beating you to the spot, even when it's a block, it is. But I will tell you this. and this goes for any position on the football field aside from kicker and punter. You can't be no bitch to strap on those pads and play football. I don't care if you're a receiver, because I've done plenty of crack blocks where I had to go block a linebacker or block a safety on a screen coming down at me. And it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. You can't be a bitch. You can't, and I don't care what position you're playing besides kicker or punter, you cannot be a little bitch if you're going to step on that football
field. And if you take that one play where you don't go full out, if you don't go full speed on one play, that's when you get hurt.
Always.
And that's the sport right there, because you got to go 110% every play. Otherwise, you're taking a chance to get hurt.
Dude.
And it happens really
easy.
Dude,
and let me give you a good example of that. And I was well aware of that. Is going for crap. Not even just you. Just me. Just you always had that. That's not anything new. Me going for those crack blocks where I actually had to block linebackers, I didn't care how big they were. I was like, if I don't, I would go my fucking balls to the wall, even if I'd get knocked down. Because if you don't, like, I'm going to get killed. Like, I have to got to deliver a blow. And I'd get knocked down sometimes, and it would hurt sometimes. God damn, I hated those plays. I really did. I'll admit it. I know that sounds pussified, but I hated doing that.
I was going to say, if you want an example, I did a real quick story. I did a tackling drill with in practice, right? 8 times in a row, the guy couldn't get his head around me. So I let up on the 8th time. No, I let up on the 8th time, and that's when I got hurt. I was out for the season. No, it was a quick story. Straight to the point.
We've heard this story in the pod multiple.
The pod has not heard this story.
Maybe it hasn't.
It has not heard this story.
That's an old school mentality. Yes, and one for Zion.
I let up one time, and that's when I got hurt.
Football.
That's all it takes.
Football is iconic in many ways because it's the toughest sport to play. It's the most popular sport in America. It is, God, I just had another great, it's something you can't play when you're done playing.
Yeah.
We don't go out to the playground and let's go play football. You and I can go out to the playground, play 2-on-2 basketball if we get a couple guys, right?
That's why you see all these short
careers. You play softball, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not baseball, but it's just still getting the game.
Something.
There isn't league. I know there is some flag football leagues. There is.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. You cannot replicate tackle football ever, ever, ever.
Because you say flag football. We just talked about you got big guys that can play football. You got little guys that can play football. And you got the in between guys. When you play flag football, it's just all little guys.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
the
big
it's
guys.
It's not even close to the same.
You lose the big guys. So it's like it's not something you can continue.
Football is just a really good sport for big dudes who love sports because they can actually do something like offensive.
Make
or
a difference for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I always have wondered though, just straight up, like those type of positions, like just offensive line specifically. Is it ever gonna be tough for them? Like, you can make a great block, and the running back or receiver, whoever quarterback,
makes the wrong cut.
No, but sure that. But he just walks in for a touchdown because of your perfect block, and he's the glory, he's the star. But like, you're the real reason.
Well, if you're that guy running it in, you better go celebrate with that lineman away.
Even if you do, I still think the lineman like, damn.
Well, they don't get the gratification from everyone else.
Because,
you're right.
Yeah. Oh, you better do it if you're the fucking his teammate. That's not saying much, though. I'm talking, like, from everyone else. We could use that for Murray. Okay, jeez. Hard parlay's getting back. Zion just had 5 straight points.
Oh, great topic. That was a great topic.
All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break, and we'll be back with some juicier. Two different sports, right, in football. I'm kind of doing two different sports here. I'm about to coach cross-country. When you go with boys and girls, I'm telling you, I didn't create nature, it is two different sports between women and men.
Well, I mean, you said it, though. It blew my mind earlier.
What?
You said there's more girl teams than there are boy teams when
in
it comes to cross country.
In our NHA region, yes, there is. No doubt.
That's wild, because you don't see that in any sport.
Again, ours is niche a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a very secluded 50 schools. It's very different. It's very, very different.
Does that come? Does that happen because of the fact that maybe there's more boy sports in those schools than there are girl sports, so there's less things?
Definitely a factor. Here's what I think, and I don't know anything for a fact here. My educated opinion here is that boys are typically more into sports than girls, right? So typically they're a little bit more athletic because they've been practicing longer. Uh-huh. Girls, they see a sport where they don't have to catch a ball. They don't have to learn plays. They don't have to learn how to do it, right? It just, can I run long distances? Yes or no? It's like, it's something they all think they can do without being athletic. And it's true. You don't have to be, you don't have to have hand-eye coordination to run cross country. I think boys look at it as like, well, I played basketball and football already. Like, no, I don't need to be doing this. I think it's more along those lines.
That's a great point, because when I was playing sports, dude, when I saw cross country or track, I'm like, that looks boring compared to the other sports, right?
Because of course, it is boring. I ran track. It is a lot more boring. It's super boring. Yeah, it was all sprint.
I just told myself I could never do that. Just running? Who wants to do that?
Nobody. I did, in my defense, and I hate running just for no reason. Uh-huh. I did track, but I was a sprinter. Sprinting competitions are competitive.
Oh, I believe it.
It's different. Like, the 2 mile race, it's like a jog, you know? Like, how really competitive is it? It's really who can outlast the other people.
Yeah, right.
Sprinter, you're running 100. I'm, like, looking at you in the eyes right next to me. It's different. But they're doing cross-country. It's not track. But that's why I think I get, like, my girls' team last year is way better just because I get more girls interested in doing it.
And you said it running for a reason. Running for no reason. And for football, we run for a reason because we're conditioning for 2 weeks straight
cross country or track, you're running for a reason,
but
the practicing is hard because you feel like, oh my god,
so
next
so man, repetitive man,
so
and all
repetitive
that.
You do the same thing, and that's a big thing I have to preach to them. Is I tell everyone before at tryouts, right before they start, and I will again this year, this is not fun. Okay. It is you're trying to win. It's a competition. The meets are a competition. There's no doubt. They keep score everything. Your times are recorded. Everything's recorded. It's a competition then. But practice is not fun. I tell them it's boring. Honestly, if I was you guys, I'm bored too. Like, honestly, I can't give you a magic formula. You need to work hard and you need to control your breathing. And I just tell them what spots on the track to pick it up or slow it down. There's no magic formula. This cross country, there's no X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
There's no playbook, there's no anything. It's really just, it's the sheer will of an athlete, like how far you can go.
I want to give you some credit because you told me this about your team last year when you were coaching. You told me you were the only coach, I think, that was actually running with the group. Like you were actually running with them, keeping pace. Let me explain this in detail.
I love that you brought that up. Thank you. So I wasn't technically running with them, but I would run to a certain point and give them water. I'd have my like backpack with a zillion
even water, better,
and they would be running on the run, and I'd give them a water bottle. They'd be jogging, drinking the water, and I'd be jogging with them. And then they hand it back to me. I did that the first couple of meets, and the other coaches copied me because we were dominating.
Hey, you started a trend. Look at you, trend starter.
Not shocked there. The other coach is like, I see what you're doing, because all my girls got like the first 6 places the first meet.
Well, you're obviously one of the younger coaches, more in shape coaches out there.
Most of the coaches, you'd be surprised, are decently young. I am one of the younger ones, no doubt. But
well, you're probably the best shape of all of them, right? You know.
But it's fun. Practices are a little boring. I know the kids don't like them, but I just tell them whenever they complain, I said, no one forced you to be here, okay, guys? Like, you chose to do it. Like, this is what it is.
It's a commitment, obviously, right?
There's,
every sport is.
Real quick, there's 2024 basketball. They had a 4-on-1. Alvarado pulled it for 3. He hit it.
And you know what? If you're open, you're open. Shoot it, right?
Yeah, it didn't used to be like that, because the 4-on-1, you want to take the easy 2. But now you think if you miss it, you're going to get an offensive rebound.
But you got defenders running back, so
yeah. I don't want to spend time. All right,
yeah, but
I know what you're saying.
Real quick though, because I do want to say this, because in practice you're running, preparing yourself to run in meets, right? But if you look at other sports, like football and basketball. You run in practice to get conditioned for your sport, but there's more than just running. So it's a little more, it's a little more to motivate yourself to be better playing.
What you're practicing is exactly what you're doing.
It's got to be tough.
Like when you run a lake in football, you're not running a lake in the game.
Well, you got in trouble if you ran a lake.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We ran them a few times, the whole team.
Yeah.
But you don't do that in a football game. You don't run a long distance. Okay?
No.
Not typically. Okay, a kick return to quotes. You can have your niche plays.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't run super long distance ever. It's just to condition you. Now in cross country, you tell them, hey, this sucks, but guess what? You're going to be doing this exact same thing in the meet. You're training directly for what you're doing.
Dude, you say that, and that sounds so hard mentally and physically, like, That's not easy, man. I give these kids credit because that is not an easy task to continue to do the same thing over and over again. It's just it gets boring. Like you could just give up and be like, "This, what am I even doing out here?" Like, but for football, right? We had 2-a-days. We had to do 2-a-days for 2 weeks before we could put pads on and hit, because that's what I loved. I loved to hit, right? I couldn't hit until I did all the conditioning, all the running, and I knew what I was doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing it just to run again.
Honestly, I'll say this. I would never do it. I tell them. I'm so honest with them. I'd say I wouldn't do the sport.
Give them mad respect.
But because I'm just straight up with them. I'm like, I just tell them what they're getting into. And some of them are embrace it. Some of them complain. And I just say, you don't have to be here. And it actually is really fun to coach, because I do get to coach all my students who I'm very close with. And I do get to coach the girls, which is fun, because I never get to coach girls, and they're our better team. And they do take it seriously, because after our success last year, now I have all the super athletic girls wanting to come out, who my team's going to even be better. So now I'm gunning for states. Fuck regionals. Well, we need to run regionals too, but it's not a fun sport. It's not fun. I don't know how people do it for fun, but if I get kids that want to compete, to me, anytime there's a competition, I want to be involved. I'm in. Like, the meets are intense. Like, the coaches are all over the place. It's intense. It is intense once you get to the meets.
And going back to what I said earlier, you motivate, you absolutely have to have an impact on them by running with them and doing things with them. Because at practice, don't you run with them? Don't you?
I do, yeah.
You do?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
Sometimes,
but
I do. I do it for two things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, to show them I'm right here with you. Number two, my ass needs to burn some calories too. My old ass needs to, this gut needs to go down too.
But your leadership that way definitely plays a factor. And you getting in the water and running with them that way, like, they know you're in it. They know you're in it with them.
I always tell them, I'm in this with you. I can't do it anymore. Like, I used to do this stuff, guys, like, just like you did, okay? I'm older now, all right? I'm a coach now, and I love it so much that I just want to help you guys. So if you want to do it, like, I'll show you how to do it. I'll give you every tool you need. And then ultimately, you got to do it. And you see me in practice, and they'll be like, oh, well, you ain't doing anything. They say that to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh, well, it's easy for you to tell us to run. Middle schoolers, you know, they got those little...
Yeah, I know we talked about coaching, that aspect of it, but... Dude, it makes a difference, because you will yell at them, you will push them to be their best, but you're also out there with them. They know that, and then it's not like a guy on the sideline just yelling at them, do this, do that, and not doing anything. You're out there doing it with them at times.
I'm out there. I'm not just yelling. I'm out there delivering water.
And when I say yelling, I say you're pushing them to be the best they can be.
No, I'm yelling at them.
Right. But you're also showing, like...
Yeah, but it's not yelling in a negative way. It's just, I know how good they can be, and I just want to win. I tell them, it's nothing's personal. Like, it's so hard to convince young people like that,
mm-hmm.
It's like, you only have a few years to do this. Like, I understand you think this is everything right now as a young person. Your life is mostly adult life, okay? By a mile, obviously. Your whole life is adult life, pretty much. You are going to, one day... have this boring job. job or not boring job, I don't say that, but you're gonna have a job where you're gonna say, damn,
mentally,
I should have went, I wish I was back at doing this. And I try to remind them of that, like, take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And I don't let them not take it seriously. Like, they know I don't play no bullshit. They know the way I am. If you are bullshit, I say bye-bye. I will take lesser talented kids and say bye-bye, kids who want to work hard and do it the right way, because the right way wins, and mm-hmm. I know what wins. I know what wins, so if you don't want to do it my way, then sayonara.
Anyone that runs and runs for a distance knows it's not as much physical as it is mental. It is very mental.
It's all mental.
It's all mental, because your legs start hurting after what, a mile, but your mentality keeps before you moving that. Before that, yeah. Maybe 3/4 of a mile, whatever it is, but your mind tells you you're not tired. You just keep pumping, you keep take step by step,
and that's the hardest part, convincing them of that.
But is that not preparing them for what they have ahead in their life? Like, yeah. That's huge.
And then I'm just like, you guys only have so many years to play sports. I'm like, if you're out here, then you need to work hard. I tell anybody, if you want to come on my team, if you don't want to work hard, bro, don't waste your time. Don't waste my time, bro. No. Or now this is girls too. Or sis. Don't waste my time. I tell all of them, because tryouts are coming up on Monday, and they're all, this whole week, it's talking to everyone, boys and girls, the middle schools, hey, we're this time, blah, 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 do this and that. And I tell them, I'm like, don't come out here if you ain't ready to work. Mm-hmm. I'm dead serious. Like, I got, because now this year, because we were so successful last year, and it was the first year of
program. Probably got more coming
up. Now the whole school wants to come. Oh, dude.
Triple. Do you have to cut people, or does everyone make it?
Fuck no, everyone doesn't make it.
I don't know how it works with cross country.
Dude, I'm probably gonna cut 20, 25 girls and probably 15 boys.
How many are you allowed?
I can take as many as I want technically, but only seven, your top seven runners are the only ones that matter for scoring.
Okay.
So there's really, here's how basic it is. You have seven varsity runners, and then everyone else is JV. So I'll keep other kids who are not in the top seven, just to, like, kind of have them practice for next year.
Now, the age groups you have, is it 6 through 8?
6 through 8.
Okay, so
very few sixth graders make it, though.
But if a sixth grader was good enough, could they run with varsity?
Dude.
Is that how it works?
Any I don't know. Of it, yep, okay. Exactly.
I didn't know.
It does, and I tell them that all the time. I do not care how old you are. I just pick the best runners. I tell them nothing is ever personal. I just want to win. I'm so honest with them, like, brutally honest. I'm like, I do not care about how tight we are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've done beforehand. The best runners, or in basketball, the best players will play and or make the team. That's it. There is no I have no personal interest in anything except winning.
Okay. All right. One more question, because you said you would probably take, what, 15 or 20, what'd you say?
I'm thinking I'm going to take 11 girls and 11 boys.
How many can actually compete?
All of them, but like okay, I said, right. Seven is varsity. So I'll take like seven varsity, then I'll take 4 or 5 JV runners.
Okay.
So, which they're just there basically for practice and to get ready for next year. I mean, so that's where you could take
more then and let them run JV.
You got to understand, though, it's hard to... It's a lot of fucking kids. It's hard to coach and manage all of them. Because you got to understand, too, if the more kids I take, the more kids I'm responsible for. So if one parent is super late, 30 minutes late after practice, I have to still wait there till they get picked up. So the more you have, I don't take kids who I know won't be invested in it.
Gotcha. And here's a question, because I run into it all the time. There's some kids you can push harder than others. Do you see that when you're absolutely coaching?
But
do you change your coaching techniques, though, with them?
Only when I pick the team I do. In tryouts, I don't. But when I pick the team I do, but I only pick... I understand I have to coach some kids differently.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are uncoachable and they're too soft, I will not take them. But some kids don't need to be coached hard. They just work hard on their own. So you kind of can just...
You gotta deliver the message differently.
If you're working your tail off, I don't have to say that much to you.
Right.
But if you're there, kind of just there. And a lot of them love to do it, and this is a kid thing, and it's totally normal. Mm-hmm. All their friends do it, and it's a fun thing after school. I get it. But, and they can have that, and I don't mind them having that camaraderie. It's a good thing. Oh, CJS. But, I know the kids. I've been working here now for 2 years. I know all the kids' personalities, how hard they work. Especially in gym, I see them all.
You see all of them.
I see them all working out.
All of them, right, yeah.
So I already, in my head, have, 85% of my team already, just like I did in basketball.
That's another thing. You said that about your basketball team. You already seeing these kids play basketball in gym that you knew, who was good, who wasn't, and you kind of had tryouts before tryouts.
I just know who the athletes are now. Uh-huh. So I was looking at who could run for my cross country team in fucking September, right when school started.
That's awesome.
Because it's different than basketball. It's...
And I got to say, you have the dream job as a gym teacher. That's always been one of my top things. Gym teachers got to be the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I like it. It'll be this year and next year, and then I probably won't do it anymore. But the hard part the part I dislike about gym is that I have to work with so many little kids, and I'm over that part.
Well, that's more, okay, I don't know if you were doing, science or English, but... But, Jim, you're in a charter school that's 1 through 8. Is that what it is?
K through 8, yeah.
K through 8. So, yeah, you're working with all different ages.
Yep. So, all I've ever really wanted to do was be a teacher and be able to coach. That's really what I've wanted to be.
And summer's off.
But while there's Fox for a bucket. While I'm doing the schooling and the master's and shit, I want to just do gym for a couple of years so I don't have to work as hard. Because it is an easier job than a classroom teacher. There are downsides to it, though. Kids get hurt. And then you have to explain to their parents how they get hurt. And their parents, yes, and their parents are not happy about that. There's very many challenges. Especially if you get 30 first graders running in there like psychos, trust me. Ain't no walk in the park, bro.
Well, you also get the benefit. You're usually their favorite teacher, too. So.
Oh, yeah, that's facts. I'm always everyone's
favorite teacher. So, usually
another one.
Better behave for you.
Let's go.
And you're also a coach, so the players you coached already already know what you're about, and they respect you more, and they won't misbehave.
They all know.
Yeah.
A challenge is, though, with the kids who aren't basketball players. I'm very at work, very, I present goofy, very nice with them, very kind. And I tell some of them, I say, hey, once you come on the team, who I haven't coached yet, it's very different. I'm not the same person. I'm opposite. I separate it like crazy. In school, as a teacher, I'm super soft and nice and kind. Opposite when it comes to sports. You better be fucking ready to work. I'm hard on you. And I just tell them, if I'm not hard on you...
It means I don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
Right.
There's plenty of coaches who do it for the extra money or just trying to get through practice. They don't really care how well they do. They're just there to do it, to help out. I care about winning. And I understand it's not everything at that level. But you know what? I always tell the kids this. You'll have a lot more fun if you win than compared to losing. So let's just work hard and try to win. Right. And if you work your tail off... And we lose, but you know you did everything you could to work as hard as you could. You can live with yourself then. I tell them, you don't want to sit there and regret. You don't want to sit there when 2 years from now I'm like, damn, I could have done way better back then. You just don't want to live with that.
Absolutely. You run into those coaches that don't care, and they don't say
and
much.
There's a zillion of them.
Yeah, they don't say much during practice. They don't get on you during practice. They don't push you to get better.
Well, no, they view it as just a strict job. I'm there to make sure they're at practice, do what they need to do, and let's get out of there, and we'll do our best when it comes to competition. Me, I'm different. I'm
Right. And in your position, you're coaching in school, so you're getting paid. I'm volunteer coach, so if I'm out there, I'm pushing you to get better. If I'm not yelling or saying something to push you to get better, it means I don't care. But I'm out there putting my full effort out there to make you better as a player and as a person. So if the coach isn't doing that, then they're not helping you at all, and they don't care about you. But when I coach, I care about the girls I coach because I coach softball. But there's that connection between a player coach that if you don't have it, you would know right off the bat.
And see, that's the thing, and that comes into the building the trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
So I build that just at school. Like, they already trust me just being around every day. Mm-hmm. I see every class. Like, they all already, like, the trust is already there. So once I get them on the team, I don't have to, like, earn their trust anymore.
Right.
And it's just different because, like, you, it's different because you only see them at practice, right?
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying there's
all year round I see them, but 2 days a week.
I know. But you're not hanging out with them for 8 hours a day before
good point.
Practice
good point.
Every day.
Yeah, right. But you're a different person then, though. You already said that.
For
you're
sure.
two different personalities.
For sure, but it's earning the trust. They already trust you as a teacher, so they're like, you just trust is good. It's universal.
That's where it makes it tricky for me because I only see them at practice. So I got to show them both sides within that practice, right?
I
got to show them the fun side and the down to business side, right?
And that's the challenge right there.
It is a challenge. It really is.
And I don't deal with that challenge because I tell them I'm different, but they already got the fun, nice
mm-hmm.
side.
Like, right.
That doesn't happen at practice. You get that at school, shit. I'm nothing but.
But I just want to say this though. There, one gratifying thing it just happened the other day. Okay, I went to pick up my daughter from practice.
Mm.
She's playing school ball now. She plays with two of the girls that I coached for summer ball, and I've been coaching them all winter. Coaching them all winter, right? I walk up to the field and Eddie and blah blah blah. They call me Burrito or something. They have nicknames for me, but they were excited to see me, and that just made me feel good right there because they weren't like, "Oh, he's here." No, they were excited to see me. So that
coaching is so rewarding.
It really is, and yeah, I have a challenge of I have to be both sides at practice, but you figure it out and. You show the girls that you care, and you explain when you're hard on them, like, this is when like, I'm just pushing you to get better. And they eventually understand. Sometimes it takes more time than you want, but you keep putting it in their heads, like, it's because I care. This is what I want you to get better at, this and that. So, but it's very gratifying to be a coach.
Yes, it is. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll wrap her up right after this. Love the convo. Little twosome tonight.
Hey, it was a hell of a pod, man.
Yeah, it was. Shawnee, hey, we love you, buddy.
But missed you.
But we proved we can handle it all on our own without Dad. Sean is like the dad of the podcast, that's a fact.
He would definitely be the producer of the podcast,
oh,
what
for
would you
sure.
say?
Yes. He does all this shit. We did it all ourselves. The hard part's going to be for me ending it here and figuring out how to upload it, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. Anyways, any last thoughts?
No, man. That was some great topics we just had. It's been fun, dude. We went off on some of those, and that was... We picked some good topics to talk about here,
next,
just the two of us.
When we go back to the threesome... Oh, well,
we have an epic topic for you guys.
Trash talk, baby.
Make sure you tune in the next one. It's going to be huge.
Look, love y'all. I didn't pop off tonight. You're welcome. You're lucky I didn't because I couldn't. But next time...
You didn't pop off, and we didn't have the chill part. So we actually just chilled.
Keegan Murray for three. Got it. Keegan for three. He's got 13. Love you.
But literally, no. We chilled without the chill part.
I know.
That's wild.
I know.
Love
all right,
y'all.
We're signing off. Keegan Murray, we got parlays going.
We need
y'all.
2 points from him.
Good
peace
time.
Out.
Love y'all. Peace.